Be good to go.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, record. Ding, 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 ding. You're listening to League Podcast Curbcast Season 10, Episode 4. You're not going to get me to say anything bad about the title of this episode. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Clay Inferno. Clay is getting so into this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm that he now is having major dental work just so he can sound like Larry, Leon, and Jeff from last episode.
Lo siento. And yeah, well, it was kind of a weird thing because I did unfortunately had to go to a wake on Thursday.
And no.
They were Portuguese, so I could have said lo siento. Lo siento. But that was before I got all of my teeth in the front of my mouth removed. So I have no teeth. My tongue just goes right to outside of my mouth.
Wow. It
just goes right there. It's a weird sensation. Everybody's asking how I'm doing with pain and everything, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Thurston, for checking in and sending me some Get Well comics.
Yeah. Get Well comics.
The worst thing is that I have, like, phantom teeth syndrome. Like, I think that there should be teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not. They've been there my whole life.
Right. What do you eat?
I've been eating lots of bananas.
Oh, very good.
Very soft things like mac and cheese, couscous, anything mushy. There's soup day at work today.
Oh, that's good. But is it like temperature? Is that, if it's too hot,
pretty much like a coffee addict. So I have to wait for my coffee to be cool, like, you know, down to room temperature because I like to drink my coffee really hot. But yeah, other than that, if anyone's worried, I'm fine. I'll have nice new teeth, and it's pretty wild, but I'm good. It's one of those things you do to, like, improve your life.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Temporary setbacks in the meantime. You know. Right. You've been in the hospital. You almost died, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, but that wasn't to improve my life.
Well, you improved it by
continuing
it.
By being aware of certain things, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I don't know. I'm glad you're doing okay. And, there you go.
I appreciate all the well wishes.
Yeah.
And if I sound a little lispy, it's because I am.
you just stick that tongue right through there.
I mean, I had a full day of work talking to people, and I'm pretty much okay.
As I told you before we started recording, I was sort of mimicking Jeff and everyone saying they wouldn't be Larry's cancer friend. If Larry had cancer, they wouldn't be. I said, I don't think I could be your toothless friend, but you are going to get, you'll get teeth. So
I have teeth that are temporary. You wouldn't even know, except that actually you've known me for a really long time. So if I put my fake teeth in, you'd be like, wow. Looks like your teeth are nice. Like you would, people that know that are close to me would be like, "Ooh, looks like you got something done to your teeth there," because they're way different than they were, like, you know.
Well,
last week, all messed up. You know, they were all messed up. That's why I didn't take out.
Yeah,
these
get rid of them.
Teeth are all straight. They're like ting, they're like perfect. They make this sound.
Whoa, that's a weird sound.
Yeah. Every time I open my mouth, they make that sound.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty good. Like a knife in the movies. You know, like knives in movies always make that like shing noise. But they don't make that noise in real life.
Or the snicked sound. Wolverine.
Yeah, snicked.
I wish they made that sound when I open my mouth. People would be scared.
You should have asked the dentist for that or whatever. You should have said, hey, can you give me the snicked sound?
Yeah, they were like, what sound do you want? Doorbell? doorbell, desk bell, generic iPhone ringtone or generic Android ringtone, or do you want the snicked? I would have gone with the snicked.
Yeah, the snicked is the way to go. All right, let's we gotta uh We got an episode to talk about here.
You sure do.
This is...
I'm having fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
So this is, you know, we talked a lot last week about Cheryl Hines directed that episode. This is, and we didn't know if she'd be back. This one is not directed. This is directed by Jeff Schaefer, an old Seinfeld veteran, I guess you'd call him.
And that's what actually, I would say, it's like you notice the difference. Like it's a big, big difference.
I agree. This is a very much a sort of late era Seinfeld episode, I think. Mm-hmm. Like a 96. Well, actually, he went on. He was mostly the mid 90s to the end. He actually directed he wrote, I don't know if he directed, but he wrote the Puerto Rican Day Parade episode, which is kind of like, I feel like this is kind of like that episode. I don't know, for anybody who remembers the Puerto Rican Day Parade, which is basically only memorable for the fact that they all were using their aliases at different points in the episode, but he did a lot of those, like The Voice, which is one of my favorite. Hello! You know. Hello! So I like that one. But, so anyway, he's credited with a lot of those late era Seinfelds, and this episode definitely does feel like that, with their sort of, all the characters go on this adventure, you know, to Cabo, and, you know,
and I feel like the Spite store itself is like such a, it's like a D or an E storyline. It's not even a B storyline. It's just like everything they're doing about the Spite store is like, it'll have its own dedicated episode. But right now it's just like we're dipping our toe into the Spite store. And this time we see the logo, which is the exact same logo, except it's like Mocha Joe's is red and Latte Larry's is blue, and the coffee cup is the same clip art coffee cup, same font, just on the other side, and it's red and blue. It's like the division in our country right now. It's like
I know. I'm sure they did that on purpose, right? The red and the blue. I mean, they had to. Yeah, they actually they start off in the coffee shop. Larry's, you know, he's complaining a little bit about how hard it is to, you know, it's to make it work. It's work, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I didn't know a Spite store would be so much work.
And then so, Leon's just like, well, first you need you got the Spite part, yeah, right? And then then you got to run a fucking store. And then yeah, like, right. Larry's just like, yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
He just wanted the Spite. He didn't want to have to run the store. So he's got a 3 o'clock appointment with an electrician. He has like a 10 o'clock appointment. The electrician says he'll be there at 3. So he gets Leon on the phone. Leon gives him hell, and he's like, "Yo, if you're about to come in your woman, you don't stop and get yourself a sandwich. If you say I'm coming, like he equates it somehow to having sex. Like he equates everything to having sex. So I thought that was a pretty funny little remark, you know. If you say I'm coming, you don't just go and make a sandwich. You come. So Larry, they decide that he'll be in charge of all of this stuff.
Yeah, Leon will be in charge of the contractors. He'll be the project manager.
The plumbers and there's no way that that's going to end well, but that's okay. But he does. So this kind of like they stuck this in here, I guess, as a way to let us know what happened with the lawsuit at the end of last episode, because Leon says, I don't want any of those scones. And Larry says, yeah, there was an incident.
Now, and this was brilliant. Like, this was Rise of Skywalker, like, brilliance of, I don't want to do that story anymore. I'm just going to, we'll put a quick explanation in there and then that'll be done with it.
Do you think that's what this is? Sort of just retconning the...
Yeah, they just said, oh, well, she actually forgot about it, so let's move on. You know,
right.
They did have to shoot that little inset where he did, like, you know, it really was like a Wayne's World kind of dream. He's like reminiscing to go back to the lawyer. The lawyer said, yeah, she has amnesia, so, you know, it's no big deal. She forgot all about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was kind of let's just move past that. Although, I mean, they could go back to it. I don't know, but
yeah.
So, but Larry says he's sticking with the scone. But yeah, what happened was she lost, you know, she was choking, and I guess she didn't get oxygen, and she forgot. And yeah. Then she just forgot the whole thing.
We can assume that the elevator people that were outside the elevator, like, maybe they helped her or
called 911. Right, I mean, she wasn't she got dead, help. But she
didn't die.
She just suffered a memory loss, so she dropped the lawsuit, I guess. I don't know. Weird, but... Whatever, yeah, very much a Rise of Skywalker. Let's just get past this. Let's just forget that ever happened. So, all right, they're there, like, and then they do move on because Mocha Joe comes in to his coffee shop, to Latte Larry's, and he says, you know, I just want to let you know, I wanted you to try some coffee, and you never should have sunk your money into this shithole or whatever.
Because... that was great. He's like, yeah. Just reminding you what good coffee tastes like.
Yeah. He's like, and he tells him, you don't have the beans. Again, he reiterates. But I love there's a part, I think Leon calls him Vanilla Joe.
Right? Yeah, he does.
Which I thought was pretty funny. Doesn't he even say, like, fuck you, Vanilla Joe? Or something? Yeah, like, Vanilla Joe. Ass,
Vanilla Joe.
So.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But they agree that Mocha Joe's coffee is good. And so they try every coffee place.
Yeah, they do a little montage going around town. And you know that coffee thing that's like that they showed that was like almost like the coffee in Breaking Bad,
when right?
Gale or whatever was like making these big elaborate signs.
Gale, yeah.
Gale. And then just he's just making a cup of coffee. Like I've had coffee at those places and. I'm a big coffee guy, and that coffee tastes just fine. But so does the cafeteria coffee. You know, it's like you don't need all that science to make coffee.
I mean, you know, you gotta have the beans. That's what it's.
You gotta have the beans.
Yeah. So, anyways, but nobody has the beans. It's really what they've determined. Like, so, and then Jeff shows up. They have a funny debate about putting the napkin on the
on your lap
right away, and he says, "You ever catch anything on that?" Which I think is kind of funny. I mean, I definitely always put the napkin on my lap.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but he says, "I guess maybe Larry's thing is right away as opposed to waiting for the food to come."
Some people wait.
Yeah.
I tend to do it. Right as I walk in, too, just because I'm there and I'm fidgety. So,
right. You know, I kind of
take it out of the ring, and put it down. Yeah.
Kind of do it because I'm fidgety, too.
And then 5 minutes later, it's on the ground and I'm picking it up.
Well, that's true. anyway, they discuss Mickey's wedding, and we sort of establish the name of the episode because. Mickey's getting married in Cabo. Larry's like, you know, upset, of course. He has to go 2 hours. 2 hours away.
Yeah, for his destination
wedding. A destination wedding. I mean, geez. But Jeff says, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Mickey, which is the theme. Which, obviously, he's going to, by the end of the episode, if you've ever seen an episode of Curb, you know how it's going to end. But, you know, whatever. They establish... Mickey, you know, as a character, we don't know. We'll see who he is later, but you know, it's Timothy Oliphant. If anybody is interested, spoiler warning.
And he's been in. I feel like he's been popped up. They've run into him this season too. Like,
I don't know. Have they run into? I don't think they've run into Mickey this season, but I don't know.
I think I've seen him, but maybe I'm thinking I saw him on the preview for this episode. So I could be easily confusing that.
All right. Maybe you're right. I don't remember. But anyways, they decide they're going to charter a private plane to go to Cabo from L.A. to go to this wedding. And of course, that's also something. Oh, Jeff says, oh, it'll make it easy. Which, of course, nothing is ever easy. So, but I don't even know. Well, maybe... I don't know. Is it easy? I've never obviously flown a flight like that, so I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what these rich people do, I guess.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of us going out and being like, you know what? Let's get the Uber X.
Yeah, let's take an Uber.
It's fancy.
Yeah, yeah, fancy basically game. It is. Leon wants to go as well, which is funny. He's like, you're not invited to the wedding. And he's like, no, man, just I don't fuck the wedding. He just wants to go. He says, think of me as your luggage. Because Larry's like, if you come, you got to chip in. Larry's big thing in this episode is chipping in. So Leon just says, like, oh, man, no. I'm just think of me as your luggage. And they say, well, luggage doesn't talk, which is, I thought that was so funny.
And it's like, it doesn't eat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It doesn't eat. All right. So there's sort of this weird way to get Larry's girl of the week here. This girl walks up. He says, how you going out? And she says, yeah. He says, can you throw my gum out on your way out? It's all wrapped in paper. And she's like, oh, chewed gum? So they have this back and forth about how he doesn't want it on the table and all that stuff. So, and then, you know, as she's walking away with his chewed gum in her hand, Jeff kind of gives a nod that he should go ask her out. And Larry says, hey, you know what? I'm going to go with you. And the next scene, they are out to dinner. So it worked. This is weird. But anyways, that's a weird – isn't that kind of a weird way to get – you know, maybe they could have just mentioned, oh, I got this girl. You know, yeah. I met this girl. I think I'll bring her to the wedding. You know, like –
total contrivance to have them be like, you know. Right. Let's have her run into him at the restaurant or whatever.
Yeah, like, and yeah, like, let's –
Jeff has to give him the clue to, like, go after her, dude.
Right.
Go after Gum Girl. Go.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it would have been a better – it is a contrivance. And that was my one quirk, complaint, I guess, about this episode is that there are a couple of these – we've talked about this before. They have these little contrivances, and sometimes they're fine, and sometimes, you know, whatever. But this one had a couple that I was just like, all right, another one. Yeah. So –
I feel like it's par for the course at this point. It's just like, you know, how else are they going to do it, I guess? I mean, I don't
really know. I mean, it just you just mention it and move on. Be like, well, maybe I'll bring Donna. You know, I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, because actually they have done that before where Larry's like dating someone, but you don't see them meet up or anything.
Right, you know, right.
Like, oh, there's this girl.
Yeah,
so it's not like he has like a really cool story. The gum thing isn't cool. It's totally
no, it's
just
not
like
really that cool. Yeah, it's kind of just like a
it's
kind
like
of
a script problem, you know? It's
like, yeah, how do you get, like, how do you get him to meet her? And yeah, this one wasn't – because really, who would do that? Who would – I don't mean Larry would do that, but who would accept the gum and then go out on a date with him?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just use the girl from the lawyers – you know, like the girl that he's already been out with.
Oh, you right. know? Yeah.
I guess just to prove that he's a player.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't... maybe because there was no, like, the first date didn't go into second base territory. Maybe.
Right, right.
He's not dating her.
Like maybe. I guess that was the end of that. Yeah. I mean, I guess they wanted to have him go out with, like, being at a wedding with a virtual stranger, although I don't know, they didn't really play that up so much.
And then really playing the Cheryl and David getting back together thing. It kind of like sunk their teeth into her and Ted being together now.
Well, until the end of the All right. So anyways, here's a funny thing. So he's out with her. He's out with this girl, Donna, at a sushi restaurant. Now, I wanted to bring this up because this is one of your little foibles, I guess, is that he says it's great to go to a sushi restaurant because you sit next to each other.
Yeah, right. It's not a side sit.
It's not a right.
Nor is it a diagonal. Nor is it a direct across.
It's not a cross.
It is a side sit.
It is, but it's not like a, it's, you know what I mean? Like a side sit with like the sort of romance where you're kind of.
Side sit is like a 90 degree angle.
Right, right. Yeah, this, you're not. This is like if we were riding next to each other on the bus. You know what I mean? Like, basically. So.
And I like that. Guys like that because we don't like to look each other in the eye when we're talking. We just kind of look at the floor. Whereas girls, like, would want to sit across from each other and, you know, look at each other's eyes.
Yeah.
Well, but
I remember, when you and I were out to, dinner that one time, and you wanted to sit diagonal, and I was not cotton to that. So I don't know. Maybe I should have just let you do it. It seems like Larry likes to sit next to the person. So I don't know.
It would have been, what would you have done if I sat right next to you? Insist
that would have been even. That would have been weird. If it was just the two of us at a booth and you sat next to me, that would have been horrible. I don't even do that with Rachel.
Yeah, I don't do that either.
That was also a Seinfeld thing that they did once, but it's fine. All right, so he mentions that what are you doing this weekend? You know, do you want to come to this wedding in Cabo? And she's like, oh, I love Cabo. I went there. And she starts to flip through the pictures on her phone that she took of Cabo and sunsets. And Larry makes a funny, well, if you like sunsets, I guess that's nice. I don't care. But then he sees a picture of this girl, a larger girl in a bathing suit. And he's like, who's that? And she's like, oh, that's me. So she lost a bunch of weight, an indeterminate amount of weight, but a lot. He's very, he wants to ask a lot of questions about it. He asked if there were medical reasons, or whatever. She's like, nah, just lifestyle. And so in a year and a half, she lost a lot of weight.
Like a lot. I would say like 100 pounds.
Right. Based on the pictures, she lost a ton of weight. So, she gets dessert. Like, they offer dessert and she takes it and whatever. So he's very flummoxed. But I like his, I don't want to say I like his logic, but his logic is sound. So he says, if you saw a picture of me a year and a half ago with hair, and now you see me bald, you'd want to know.
Yeah.
Right. He always goes back to the baldness.
Yeah.
So it's pretty funny. So, anyway, the next scene is Larry and Leon. He's talking about his date with this woman who used to be large, and they determine that she's a yo-yo. and so the question is whether she's on the up or the down.
Right. So yo-ing up. I had to.
Right.
I had to go back, and I have the subtitles on sometimes. And it's funny if you like have the subtitles and read Leon's stuff, because he's like, you need to get her yo-yoing ass down to Cabo.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to understand because he talks so fast. Because
he does it really quick, and there's like so many jokes in there, and especially because sometimes, like a lot of times, we watch it like more than once, so it's like, oh
yeah.
What exactly did Leon say? And you turn it on and you're like, holy shit. Like, that's, get her yo-yoing ass.
Gotta get yo-yoing ass to Cabo. So there's also a very subtle thing here where he pulls out. So this was good. This was good storytelling. So obviously the very first episode, one of the things he got in trouble with his assistant was grabbing her shirt and cleaning his glasses. Right?
Yeah.
Grabbing the bow on her shirt. Because he couldn't find his glasses cleaner. And then there was another thing with Cheryl where he couldn't find the glasses cleaner. And now he gets a bright green, which I actually have the same color sunglass cleaner. So anyway, he gets a glasses cleaner in the mail. And that comes into play later, of course. And we also determined that in this scene that the pilot needs everybody's weight, everybody who's going on that plane. And Leon says, no.
Small puddle jumpers or whatever they're called. Like, yeah. You need to know everyone's weight.
And he says, Leon is not going to do that. It's too much information.
No one gives him access to their weight.
Right. But I mean, it's kind of a I feel like that's another thing. Like, most men wouldn't care. Like, if this were you and me and you needed my weight, I would just tell you my weight.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But so this is kind of like a another contrivance a bit.
But I do like the Leon's like, that's too much information because as a black man, he's like worried about, you know, like, yeah, he wants to remain as anonymous as possible. Like,
yeah, he says it's like a description, right?
Yeah, it's like a description. Yeah. He could be mistaken for somebody. Or he could have done something wrong and doesn't want to get caught, you know?
Right.
Either way.
Right. So in the next scene, it comes up again. And, well, the next scene, he's at Jeff's house. Cheryl is there, and Susie says, oh, do you want to come on the plane with us? And she says, oh, sure. Larry's like, well, you got to chip in. You don't want to, you know, you don't want people will resent you if you don't chip in. And she's like, well, no, they won't. And Susie says, yeah, I would, which I thought was a great line. Since she would resent her if she didn't chip in.
And then Susie said that she's also loaded. How is Cheryl loaded?
She must have gotten some of Larry's money in the door. Like,
well, you're loaded. Says that to Cheryl.
I mean, I guess she's an actress in the show.
She's
like
an actress and doesn't in a way. Do other stuff. I forget what she does.
I don't know what her. I think it was just. It's probably just Larry money.
And also, I mean, you know, like if she's dating Ted Danson, like.
Yeah, she's
you
probably.
Know what I mean? Like she's
probably doing okay.
Probably a financial benefit to that. I mean, I would date Ted Danson to see how much money I can get out of him.
Yeah, I think I would too. We establish also that Ted cannot come. And Larry's like, oh, shit.
Right, he's filming another movie. And then he's like, oh, darn.
Yeah. Then we have a big thing about the weight. And Jeff also refuses to give his weight. He says even Susie doesn't know what he weighs. And
my business. My doctor doesn't even know what
right.
I weigh.
Even his doctor doesn't know what he weighs. Which is another thing, because why is he? What is he so? I can understand. Jeff used to be really fat.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
I could see if he was still really fat to not tell Larry, "Oh, I weigh, you know, 300 pounds or whatever." But he's lost a lot of weight, so I don't know. They have this funny debate about whether the pilot should be called the captain or. Should be called captain or whatever. So I mean, that's pretty funny, but basically no one will give the weight. So they're flying to Cabo. All of them. Donna is eating, you know, she's like, come on, have some. It's free. Larry's like, hey, just because it's free doesn't mean we have to eat everything. And of course, and I like Leon sort of like making eyes at him over her shoulder being like, look at her eat. She's really just having like a few M&Ms. It's not like a big deal.
Yeah.
But they have to land the plane because it's too heavy. Which I guess, I don't know. I guess this happens. Like you said, those little puddle jumpers. And so like they all get off. They have to remove bags from the plane. And they choose it, and Larry loses, of course, so his bags have to come off. And I thought it was pretty funny because Larry says, two out of three. And Leon says, no, no do-overs, Larry. This ain't the playoffs, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, you don't get a second chance.
Yeah, no second chances. This ain't the playoffs. So anyways, yeah, so Larry's bags have to be
Larry's bags and his date
and done. And yeah, they go by couple, right? So and then I literally love like he's so pissed off and he's getting on the plane, he's like, oh, because you assholes wouldn't give me your weight. Let me call them all assholes. So we finally meet Mickey. They land, Mickey shows up, he's so happy. He's like, oh, you guys, thanks so much for coming, you know. And he hugs everybody. He gives Larry a little, hey, Larry, how you doing? Like, it's, you know, it's very obvious.
He's pretty cold to Leon, too, even though he's just meeting him.
Right.
Like, yeah. Well, he's just like, you coming to the wedding, Leon? He's like, No.
He says, nah, I'm good. I'm like, I actually, right then, I thought that was pretty funny. Nah, I'm good. But yeah, anyway, Timothy Olyphant, he's really funny. I mean, he's really like, oh, everybody loves him and whatever. And then he's like, oh, I gotta go, you know, like, I promised the wife I'd get a, you know, manicure or whatever, because they're at his wedding. So Larry thinks that it was just a torrent of smarm or something like that. I forget what he says, but he said it was all just smarm. They're like, no, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Mickey. So the other funny
like
thing
a
is
a weird running joke, too.
Yeah, like, that's a weird joke to have.
It's not really because, that funny or whatever. I mean, it pays off in the end.
But it's obvious that it will. You know what I mean? That's what I think. I mean, I knew there was no way it wasn't. They were definitely going to say bad things about Mickey.
Yeah. This rule of threes, like you said, you know?
Right.
There's a few times that he says that. And then there's one time where he almost says it, and Larry says, save it.
That's right. I mean, this also is kind of a weird joke to throw in for no reason, just to pile it on Larry, I guess, is that Mickey's like, oh, your rooms are so nice. Just, you know, waiting to check in. The rooms are fantastic.
Every room is great.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yes, every room is great. And Larry's room is just a regular hotel room.
Yeah.
But everyone else has, like, giant suites.
They have suites and, like, little lanais and little, like, you know.
Even Leon.
Yeah, he has.
Because he told them he was handicapped.
Yeah.
But we'll get there in a minute. But Larry goes into Larry and Donna go into their room, and it's just a regular room. And Larry's like, what the hell is this? So, and of course, he doesn't have any luggage. So he doesn't have a toothbrush, doesn't have anything. Now, and like, they're going to. Like, they were going to fool around a little bit. She was going to kiss him. And he's like, no, you know, I want to make a good first impression, or I think is what he says. So he wants to brush his teeth. Which is another one. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, so now he has to go around to everyone. He just leaves her in the room all alone. And he goes around to everybody he knows to see if they have a spare toothbrush.
And then they say, like, nobody has a spare toothbrush. Who travels with a spare toothbrush?
Who travels with a spare? Well, it's funny. Well, of course, every room he goes in is better than his. And then he says, so Mickey's full of shit, which I thought was pretty funny. And there was another funny thing, too, because, like, he suspects that Susie does have a spare toothbrush. And he says, well, so you wouldn't mind if I look around? He says, get the fuck out of here! we also have there's a funny exchange because Donna says, like, well, Jeff says, sorry, I'm getting my name. Larry says, maybe you can borrow a dress from Susie. And she's like, oh, Susie, she's not going to lend me anything. And then she says, but then when Larry tells Susie that Donna is Jewish, then it's like, oh, so it's kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, so he goes to Leon's room. He goes to Mickey's room. He goes to Jeff and Susie's room. They're all better than his. And nobody has a spare toothbrush, obviously. But he goes to Cheryl, and she doesn't have a spare toothbrush, but he wants to invoke the, like, 40 years of marriage rule to say that it's okay to use the same toothbrush. She just wants him to leave,
just,
I guess.
Get out of here.
Yeah, just do it and go. So he's brushing his teeth. He goes into the bathroom to brush his teeth. And then Ted comes in. Ted Danson, right? Or is this later? I forget. Ted comes in.
All because it's a big surprise, and also he's still in there. Larry's still in there brushing his teeth.
Right. And he thinks, what are you doing here? It's, you know, it's an intimate thing to be, you know, brushing the teeth. He finds them together. And so even though it was completely innocent, Ted is suspicious. So he tells him to get out of here. So Larry does go back to his room now with fresh teeth or fresh, you know, breath and everything. And Donna snuck a Toblerone, and which I thought he finds it in the garbage. And she got a little stain on there, like on the couch in the room. This was another thing that I was like, oh, this is a bit much. But she got a little chocolate stain on the couch in the room.
But how she got it is hilarious because she ate a whole Toblerone. And even I, who's like, I'm a candy chocolate fiend, you know, I don't drink alcohol anymore, but right. Something about eating chocolate plugs into the same receptors in my brain. So I'm fiend when it comes to chocolate. And when I get a Toblerone, I can only eat like two of those little triangles. Like, they're like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so she ate the whole thing.
Yeah, it's true. That is a bit much. Yeah, no.
Because he like looks in the trash can and sees the Toblerone all ripped up, and she's like, "Whoops, I guess I ate it all."
So yeah, he does, but he thinks he's doing the right thing to call down to the desk and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I got a stain," and they said, "We'll take care of that for you." So that's all good, but then he finds out the next day that he's going to get charged $250 for the cleaning.
They would never do that. They would never charge you for that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But it's so, I mean, the guy is funny about it. He's like, oh, thank you so much, Mr. Thank David. You, yeah.
It's totally just a Larry thing.
Yeah, like, this would never happen. So then Larry gets into a fight with him and tells him he's never going to stay here again. And by the way, where is that shop you told me about so I can go get some clothes? And the guy also told him there was a carnival there, and I thought this line, he's like, is it fun? And I was like, yes, it's fun. All right. So and then Larry sees Cheryl and Ted out at breakfast. He goes into a long thing about raspberries, how you can't buy raspberries.
He's like just trying to eat off of there, but you're gonna eat that croissant? And he's like,
right.
Picking up the fruit.
Then he now, so if he also needs, because if Ted's going to be joining them on the flight home, he needs to know his weight. Of course, Ted's not going to give him the weight.
Yeah, no one's giving him his weight.
No one's giving him the weight. So then we find out. So they're at the wedding now, and Donna did get a dress from Susie. And Susie loves her now. She's like, oh, you look great. You're beautiful. And it's just
Jewish or whatever. Is what
right. Like, yeah, that's it. That,
what, she's Jewish. Jew?
Yeah.
Oh, she's Jewish. It completely she's Jewish. Turns her around.
Yeah, her name is Meyer. So. But the dress that Susie gave her is really tight and really, like, I don't know. It's just, yeah. I think she makes some kind of remark about hydraulics or something like that.
Yeah.
So
it's like, it's kind of trashy, you know, like it's like a nice wedding dress. It's like all leopard print and like kind of trashy, like attractive.
I know.
People like me, I love that look, but you know,
she seems a little old for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You love the trashy look though. Huh? That's good.
Well, I mean, I like a more of a somebody with a little bit of flair style than just like a regular old basic bitch, as they call themselves these days, you know?
That's right. That's what they call themselves. We didn't make that up.
I like a little bit of flair.
Yeah, so you like a little leopard print.
Yeah, I like a little leopard print, you know? Stacey wears leopard print all the time.
All right, cool.
Because she's not a basic bitch.
No,
she's a badass.
She's definitely not. So they determine, I guess this is the wedding. I guess this isn't the wedding yet. Maybe I jumped ahead a little, but wherever they are, maybe they're just at breakfast. Whatever it is, the coffee at this hotel is the best that Leon has had. And Larry tastes it and he's like, oh yeah, this is the coffee that can beat Mocha Joe. So he goes to the front desk where he just had this fight with this guy and said he would never come back. And now he has to find out where he gets the beans. And he says, oh, it's a family secret. And he tells him a very funny – Larry tells the guy a very funny story about his sister has this medical condition and all she really enjoys is coffee. First she had Bell's palsy and then it became Rosenbaum's palsy, which I don't even know if that's a real thing. I think he just –
look it up.
Yeah, I think I do. And she's like paralyzed, her face is paralyzed, but she, you know, he's like, so all she could do is drink coffee. And
I think that may be an old timey, same name, like the old timey name for cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
That's what Rosenbaum's palsy.
Dr. Peter Rosenbaum.
Seems to be the
guy. Well, yeah, we'll see. So, anyway, the guy still won't give it up. So, even with the Rosenbaum's palsy. So they're at the carnival. That wasn't the wedding because I screwed that up. But now, so they go to the carnival, which is going on in the. This is the part that's kind of like the Puerto Rican Day Parade, I guess. But so it's one of those guys that will guess your weight.
Yeah.
At a carnival. He guesses Larry right on the nose. And then Larry, like, this part is kind of funny. Larry wants him to guess Donna's weight. Donna's like, no. But Larry makes kind of like, you know, head bob, and he flashes money. And then the guy says, I think the girl weighs 155 pounds. Yeah. And Larry feigns his fake anger is almost as funny as his real anger. He's like, oh, how dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? That was brilliant.
How dare you do that? And then he like they start to walk away. And then he's like, let me just give him another piece of my mind. He goes back and says, thank you very much. He puts the money in his pocket.
Then he says. Doesn't he tell the guy I have five more people I need to?
Yeah, he says I'm coming back with some more people. So,
and they're all at the carnival. Everybody's at the carnival, so they start to run into him.
There was another funny moment too, where there's a guy and a guy drives by a little cart, and Larry's like, "Oh, do you want to buy? How about you know, like, oh, look, a yo-yo." And she doesn't want him to buy a yo-yo. She doesn't like the you know the inference, I guess. So he brings everybody by Ernesto is the name of the guy who guesses the weight. And he sort of does this funny dance with every person so that he can spin them around.
Yeah, oh, it's so good to see you at the carnival. It's like spinning them around. But then like giving like winks to the guy, like, what do you think about this
right.
person?
Yeah. Like,
he needs people to spin around so that he can get his guess in.
Right. Yeah. That's what he did to Larry too. I do like, when he's trying to get Ted Danson, so he's like, Ted, why don't we take a picture? Why don't you come over here or whatever? And he's trying to just like, you know, get him to spin around. And then Ted says, all right, it's too much touching. So anyways, yeah, he had it all written down. So anyways, now we're at the wedding. They're, you know, Donna does look kind of, I wrote down that she did look kind of trashy, but they see the sacks of coffee beans, which is being served at the wedding reception, like, apparently. And Leon and Larry go steal beans. They just steal the coffee beans.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they're there. The wedding is about to start after they stole all the beans. There's like a sort of, I guess it's not orchestra or whatever. They're playing, you know, the music. There's like it's a band, but it's like violins and everything. You know, it's not right. Like. And he's just something about Yo-Yo Ma, which is another yo-yo reference.
Yeah.
And she gets mad that he keeps, she's on to it. She knows.
Yeah, she's on to it.
Yeah. And he's just that you're yo-yoing or yoing. I think is what he says. Right? Yeah. He says, you're yoing?
And then, yeah. it at the end, you know, she's like, you think I'm yo-ing up, which is like, it's funny because it's just based on like this linguistical thing that kind of happened between Leon and Larry, and we know what it is, but it's sort of like a private joke between those two only, and you can get what it means, but it's like me and you and John and Josh, like we have a thousand like little things like that we've said over the years, and that means something to us that doesn't even mean the same thing anymore, but you know, just like say
right.
like when we have a little conversation that's not on the podcast, we call it a life cast, you know, like nobody knows about that except for us.
Yeah,
but this would be like as if somebody on the outside was saying like,
yeah,
like picked up on our joke and like made a reference to life cast, even though you know what I mean?
only we should know about that.
Yeah,
well, it's also because this is like a negative, like they're using this, she's, you know, she's onto it because it's like a bad thing she doesn't want. She may have been accused before of yo-yoing her.
That's right. A yo-yo weight.
So, and then next, Ted tells Larry, oh, keep it down or whatever. And he produces the green. Oh, he sees Larry cleaning his glasses. I'm sorry. With the green cloth from earlier. Ted says, Larry, I'm on to you, and he pulls out the green cloth, the original green cloth, green glasses cleaner, and he says, this was under Cheryl's pillow from that one time they slept together.
Yeah.
And this is like as the bride and groom are like walking down the aisle. So Larry and Ted are yelling at each other across the aisle, like they're sitting on either side of the aisle. They end up in a big, like, Ted goes after her. They squish the bride in between them.
And when you say this is like late era Seinfeld, like this is classic sitcom storytelling. Like,
yeah, it is.
Like a sitcom explosion. End up ruining the wedding in the middle of the ceremony and tackling the bride and all that. Great.
Then like there's a whole thing, of course, because everything has to come to a head, like you said, a sitcom explosion. So obviously Mickey is mad, and like he says, fuck you, Larry, and then he just turns to Jeff and says, fuck you too. Right, all right. I mean, I don't even think Jeff said anything. Yeah. Did he? And then Jeff's like, wait a minute, and then Jeff does say bad stuff about Mickey. He's like, well, fuck you too, Mickey, and he's mad, and now he will say something bad about him.
Yeah, because he like kicked them all out or something.
Yeah, I think he did. He told them all whatever. So, I mean, that had to happen.
And then it's all revealed to Donna that he'd been sleeping with his ex-wife, and she's obviously not cool with that either. So it's like, fuck.
Right. Yeah, so the whole – which is why you don't invite a divorce – we didn't mention this earlier, but this was a big part of the episode as well. This is why you don't invite a divorced couple to your wedding.
Yeah, which is also classic – you know, we were talking about it – weren't we talking about it last week? Maybe because we saw the preview. You know, just like
right.
It's a classic Curb thing. You know, people chose Cheryl's side.
That's right. Oh, we're going with Cheryl. Yeah.
because he did tell Mickey when he got there, when he got off the plane. I'm glad we're going back to this now and didn't bring it up before too. Because if you go back into the episode, he just calls out Mickey. He's like, "This is why you don't, you know, invite a divorced couple." He's like, you thought one of us wasn't going to show, did you?
Right, didn't that's you? True.
He's like, why did I get the shitty room, you know?
Yeah. So this all goes back to Mickey didn't want Larry to come. So maybe he thought he would send an expensive gift.
Yeah, and Mickey is just kind of like, that, not in denial, but like, you know, sees that Larry's calling him on his bluff. And he's just like, yeah, hey, I got to go do my manic. He just kind of, like, walks away from him.
And he doesn't give him, like, he gives everybody else.
I figured you guys would figure it out. One of the things that we like to say is, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, he kind of just didn't want Larry there in the first place, so.
It'd be like Donna coming up to us while we're sitting there having a life cast and having her say, you guys will figure it out. Be like, wait a minute, Donna,
what?
How'd you know about that? How'd you know about that joke?
Yeah, it is kind of. So, yeah, and he also does say when he first sees Mickey, well, you took a bit of a gamble inviting a divorced couple. And that's when he does. Yeah, I think Mickey says, well, you'll figure it out. So
you'll figure it out.
And then, of course, they all have to fly on the same plane back, which is also, you know, well.
And this time, thanks to the carnival barker, who's like,
right.
I could imagine they just sort of like, you know, writing the script. It's like carnival barker.
Yeah. Guess the captain, weight guy.
Or the pilot now knows all of their weights.
That's right. And Larry has them all. He's like, because Ernesto gave them to me.
Yeah, Ernesto. You remember his name. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but the problem is they still weigh too much. And Larry's like, what? I have everybody's weight correct. And they said, no, it's like the five bags of coffee beans or whatever, or however many bags of coffee beans that they have. That's just weighing down the, which I don't know how he even got those on there with nobody noticing, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, he's probably just loaded them in there.
Yeah, he must have just had them loaded on, right, just with all the other luggage and everything.
Yeah, then they're doing their final check, and we're like, oh, I guess we're too heavy. And yeah. Also, they looked in the luggage thing and saw those coffee beans. So, hilarious final shot of the episode. Larry on the tarmac. With his luggage and his three bags of coffee beans, and everybody else is flying off in
and a yo-yo.
And he's, a yo-yo.
Right? Isn't he doing it? He's doing a yo-yo there with his beans on the tarmac as the plane is flying away.
Everybody else flies away. So this whole thing, he's, you know, going to split the Uber X private jet with with those guys and he ended up paying for it, but he did the most.
He ends up not even getting taken.
He's got the beans.
That's right. He does have the beans. I think that was very. I mean, he could just get another plane. He's Larry David, and he doesn't have to fly with those people.
Yeah, he can get.
I'm sure he prefers his own plane.
Like he can fly. He can get out of Cabo. He can get home. He doesn't really have a time crunch because the coffee shop isn't opening tomorrow. Like,
right.
He just needs. It's only a 2-hour flight away, so. He's not really that far from home, but like in a completely selfish way and in a complete way that like I don't want to say it sound, have it sound too lofty, but like that's something that I would do like in order to like make a show happen or something. You know what I mean? Like
right.
I would take an expensive Uber to like the South Shore and pick up like a rare guitar and bring it back to the city just so that I knew that if it was there by 7 o'clock, the guy could play his guitar. Like I would do that kind of like a sacrifice kind of thing. And it's kind of like what Larry's doing. Cause in the long run, he's got this spite store and it's going to suck to get these coffee beans back, but he's going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, right. This is a little sacrifice of convenience.
It's kind of a hero
but I think
moment.
He's also kind of, in a way, I think he's almost, he'd rather not fly with any of them anyway, probably.
That's a good observation on your.
Yeah.
It's like kind of, those are like two aspects of each of our personalities, I think. Like, you're like. I think he's like kind of being heroic because he's doing a self-sacrifice thing, but you're also totally correct because more in line with your personality is like, hell, I didn't want to go with those guys anyway.
Well, he would rather, he would rather get off the plane with his beans than stay on a plane with those people, sacrifice his beans, and have to ride with them for 2 hours. So I think it all came up gold for Larry.
It did, and in a way that I totally like, you know, as much as sometimes we love Larry David, we obviously have a podcast about the show, but like in a way it kind of didn't make him look like a dick. It just made him look like keep saying it, like it was just like heroic for him to do that. Like he's gonna fucking crush Mocha Joe with these coffee beans, you know, like, and you want him to do that. You want him to do that so bad.
Yeah, you do actually, which is funny because like it's a spite store, but this is the way the show is, and this is the way Larry is. So yeah, if you're along for the ride, you're not going to be like, oh, boo, I don't want him to have a spite store. We already said
that. Yeah, and I don't want all his friends. yelling at him the whole plane ride home. It's going to be uncomfortable with Ted, Cheryl, Donna. With Susie and Jeff, it's kind of like they're all best friends. Right. Doesn't really matter to them, except for that Susie's probably just her normal, like, hates Larry for
Larry probably had to get
us kicked out of the wedding, you know? That's just normal, you know?
Yeah. He did say that earlier when Donna said, "Oh, Susie, she hates me." He said, "Oh, she hates everyone." So.
Right. But he's like, this season, too, like, they are, like, Larry and Susie, like, they love each other a lot, and they're, like, they're really close friends, but, like, the outward show is that they fucking hate each other, you know? Like, just all a show, you know? But this season, they're doing a lot of, like, you know, remember, Larry, like, we all used to have such good times together with Cheryl, all four of us, you know? And it's part of our history.
Yeah. Like, you know, they obviously are friends. But yeah, like, you know, like, she has no problem telling him just to get out, but that's part of the thing now, too. So,
yeah,
it's this.
I mean, they have an years on the show. I mean, you know what I mean? Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I think that's about the end. Larry on the tarmac, as we said, you know, yo yo.
Good comedy in the classic sitcom style, which I wouldn't have picked up on unless you pointed out that the director was a Seinfeld guy. And I noticed it last week, but good on you for picking up on that this week.
Well, the name looked kind of familiar, and I said, I'm going to look him up because I know I've seen that name. And he did a lot of Seinfelds, and this did remind me of that era of Seinfeld where they're sort of, or one of those types of episodes where they're kind of on an adventure or something. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing something. It's not like four separate storylines that are kind of like, you know, just happening around New York City or Jerry's apartment. I mean, like, this was like a thing where they all went somewhere. So they had a few of those. And this definitely felt like that. It's definitely kind of out there for Larry David. Usually he doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
So
I think part of that is they want to spend the budget from HBO because they can do whatever they want. I think they're like, let's do a, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, let's go to Cabo.
One thing that I just thought was awesome is just Larry and Leon's little thing in the kitchen was just so funny because
we did kind of gloss over that when he's making like crackers with peanut butter and jelly and bananas.
But it was so funny because he's doing like Leon is being he is being gross because he's like he has like the squeezed jelly bottle and I know what he's making. Actually, I would eat that if I could eat a cracker. I would eat that, but he's like taking the jelly and going squish. Squish, and it's like making like the fart noises and stuff. It's like squeezable jelly, and then so he's like, "How do you?" Leon says something about like, "How do you like keep, you know, this
keep her from eating garbage?"
From eating garbage, what
eating that garbage down in Mexico or something.
So
like
Larry
that.
Just comes and he pulls a plate and smashes it all.
He's like, "Yeah, what would I do if someone was eating garbage?" Is really what he's like insinuate that that's what he's. And he is. I mean, squeezable jelly. Oh my God. I mean, like
high fructose corn syrup.
Leon, you're an adult. You're a grown man. I mean, sort of. But then Larry just smashes it with his fist, and he says,
"Leon's eat my shit with a spoon." He's still gonna eat it because he's like doesn't want that to go to waste. Two good in the news, Curb in the News, or Jeff was on Conan, so it's good clips you can catch on YouTube for that, because Jeff says that they showed a little scene of them talking, which I think is a scene from later in the season we haven't seen yet, and they're talking about something, and he's like, "Did you see that scene?" That was probably maybe the fifth take because he's like, every time we record these, like, Larry can't stop laughing when we're. He's like, that was like the fifth take probably. He's like, and it's like that every time. Every take is like that.
Oh, that's that makes me feel good. I want Larry to enjoy doing this.
Because they can't help it. Some of the time it makes it into the edit because he's like yelling at Susie but cracking up. And
yeah, it's true. He does do that. Yeah.
And you can tell he's dying laughing, but apparently those are the good ones where he wasn't laughing.
Oh, well, all right. And hey, then also, that makes you feel good.
SNL, Larry does Bernie, their cousin, you know, pretty much.
That's right.
Anyways, but he was on the cold open because they did the Democratic debate in New Hampshire, and he did his Bernie character, and it was funny. So there's this couple YouTube things that if people wanted to watch. It's from Conan the other day, Jeff Garlin, and then SNL from this past Saturday. Had a little bit of Larry David at the beginning.
Look at that. I love it. Curb in the News.
Curb in the News.
Our new segment.
For some reason, I mean, like, because we do these shows, and of course, because I think it's great, now I'm getting, like, my YouTube recommendations are like, here's this, you know, all these Seinfeld quotes, all these, like, there's a kind of a genre on YouTube that I've noticed the big brands are doing, too. It's like, the best of Jenna from 30 Rock, the best of,
right,
the SNL is doing a bunch of cool ones, like, best fake pet commercials, and it'll just be like five SNL skits, and like you watch it and you're like, that's the perfect amount of laughing I need to do just for right now. And so a bunch of Seinfeld ones of those and Curb stuff, and like anytime the Larry or Jeff or anybody, it's like a panel, or like it goes back to the Seinfeld reunion episode, and like they did Paley Center panels, and like all that stuff pops up. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into the rabbit hole
there. Well, and yeah, now YouTube is like, oh, you like this? Here, have some more.
Yeah. Oh, they know.
Fat fuck, don't get up off the couch. Sit there.
That's exactly what they're saying, yes. I get a lot of that. I get a lot of, like, I get a lot of Curb and Conan, and then I also get things. I mean, I've been getting Rush stuff lately because of the Neil Peart, you know, passing away and everything. But yeah, it is easy to just be like, all right, I guess I'll watch this now.
If the robot is giving me good stuff that I like to watch, I'm not going to complain.
I
love all these. You know, I don't want to miss it when Jeff is on Conan. And I don't have TBS, so I only watch Conan with little clips like that. Usually I'll watch, if Jeff's on for like 10 minutes and they break it up into three different videos, I'll just watch them all and then be like,
oh. Yeah, I hear you. All right. Yeah, very well.
Maybe when you put the show up, what I'll do is I'll put the YouTube.
All right. As long as I don't have to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do all the hard part. So.
Oh,
I could do that. We'll put it in the show notes, as they say.
All right, put it in the show notes.
I'll never remember until I listen to it after we download it and like, oh, I got to put this up.
I can do it. I can do it.
No, I'll do it.
All right. Really quick, I guess if you do listen to this and you're in the Boston area and you want to come, you want some more of me and Clay, we're going
to
be doing a
one day
panel.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, 5:45 at the Somerville Theater. We're doing a panel called, like, it's like, oh, shit. What is the panel called again? Why the Dark Side, I think?
There's two different versions of the title.
Oh, shit.
So,
all right, good. It's about it's about movie villains and just villains in general. So, yeah, come down. Clay and I are, an actor even. And, it's going to be a fun time. So, and also it's the Boston Sci-Fi Film Festival,
which is Boston Sci-Fi 45. So that's, it's hard for me to say. You say it. You say the number.
45?
Yes.
Boston Sci-Fi 45.
That's as old as me, and I'm as old as this is the longest running sci-fi festival in the country, and they get awards and everything. And Ken and our friend Doc Housel, they're doing one tomorrow night at the MFA.
Really?
If you're listening to this on Tuesday, it'll be on Tuesday. They're doing another one. So
nice. Well, go to see them if you get a chance, and come see us Wednesday. Yeah, Why the Dark Side is our panel. And that's also a great cause to support. And there's probably some really cool movies. I haven't seen any of them, obviously, but it sounds really cool.
One thing that they do is the as an organization is the 24-hour sci-fi marathon every year. So it's I think it's in the big theater there, at SoWorld Theater, and they just I did one of those, not for Boston Sci-Fi Fest, but I did a 24-hour film festival once, and it was fun.
Wow. Was fun. Yeah. And this what we're doing is part of, they call it film school.
Film school, the dark side.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements. Movies. Yeah.
And they can go to our website, leakpodcast.com. If my teeth are in a better condition, I would read off everybody's names, but I don't want to mangle them. So just go to leakpodcast.com. The events, all the info is up there. Buy tickets.
Yeah, and it's on our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that. League Podcast. Just look for us on – we're just League Podcast. So
yeah, and then also Curbcast can be found not exclusively, but I'm glad that it's there on Anchor.
Yeah, easy way. We've got a few. Yeah, an easy way to listen in, but via Anchor, it's available through Spotify and Stitcher and Apple Podcasts and all these other.
We're on Google. That too.
Yeah, we're on all those things. Yeah, everybody's on. We're everywhere.
But we're doing just some A/B testing. We want to be on Anchor. We're proud to be on Anchor. So yeah. So the shows get mirrored there. So subscribe wherever you like, because it's gonna be it's wherever you find it. But Anchor's a good starting point. Maybe if you like that app, because we like that app, we use it on our phone all the time. So
that's right. It's pretty easy, actually. You can make your own podcast on there if you want.
You can make your own podcast with somebody that just has the app. You don't need this mic set up and all this stuff. It's so easy.
You know what though? You could do it with someone who has teeth. It'd be great. It would sound so.
let me know Let me know what that's like. I used to have teeth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist it.
I'm glad you did. I mean, I'm asking for it.
Yeah, you're asking for it. All right.
But hey, it wouldn't stop me from doing the show.
I know. I'm really proud of you. And so I hope you all enjoyed Clay, and you know, we're like he really deserves it. He deserves you to listen. But
I'll run it through a filter to take out the high end pops.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. But I think you did good. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you did, which I hope you did, because Clay deserves it this week. And we'll talk to you chumps later.
Lady Fox. Come to our panel.
Yeah, come to the panel.